Part 2. The God Inside Your Heart. I am not a courageous goblin. I prefer to live, though oftentimes I wonder what my life is truly worth. Those words haunt me. In light of the revelations Catti Bree has offered of my goddess, Mieliki, that all of goblinkin are irredeemably evil and should be rightfully put to the sword, those words haunt me, for they were spoken to me by a goblin named Nojheim, a fellow of intelligence and wit, surprisingly so to me, who had never so deeply and honestly conversed with a goblin before. He claimed cowardice because he would not stand up to the humans who had captured him, beaten him, and enslaved him. He questioned the worth of his life, because he was truly that, a slave. They came for Nojheim, and they caught him, and it is forever my shame that I was not able to help him, for when I next saw him, he had been hanged by the neck by his tormentors. Reeling from the scene, I stumbled back to my bed, and that very night I wrote, "There are events that are forever frozen in one's memory, feelings that exude a more complete aura, a memory so vivid and so lasting. I remember the wind at that horrible moment. The day, thick with low clouds, was unseasonably warm, but the wind, on those occasions it had to gust, carried a chilling bite, coming down from the high mountains and carrying the sting of deep snow with it. The wind was behind me, my long white hair blowing around the side of my face, my cloak pressing tightly against my back as I sat on my mount and stared helplessly at the high crosspole. The gusty breeze kept Nojheim's stiff and bloated body turning slightly, the bolt holding the hemp rope creaking in mournful, helpless protest. I will see him forever. And so I do see him still. And whenever I manage to put that terrible memory out of thought, I am reminded of it, never more poignantly than now, with war brewing, with Brunner deriding the Treaty of Garam's Gorge as his worst error, with Catti Bree, my beloved Catti Bree, insisting that on Mieliki's word, on the sermon of the goddess we both hold dear, those humans in that long-ago day, in that long-deserted village along the Cerberus, whose name I cannot remember, were justified in their actions. I cannot reconcile it. I simply cannot. The implications of Catti Bree's claim overwhelm me and loosen the sand beneath my feet until I am sinking into despair. For when I kill, even in battle, even in righteous defense, I feel that a part of my soul departs with the vanquished foe. I feel as if I am a bit less goodly. I mend my soul by reminding myself of the necessity of my actions, of course, and so I am not locked in the dark wings of guilt in any way. But what if I carry Mieliki's claims to their logical conclusions? What if I force my way into an orc or goblin settlement that has shown no aggression, no intent to wage war or commit any other crimes? What if I find that nursery, as Catti Bree mocked in her dwarven brogue, with the old dwarven cry of, "Where's the baby's room?" Surely then, by the sermon of Mieliki, I am to slaughter the goblin children, infants even, and slaughter the elderly and infirm, even if they have committed no crimes or no acts of aggression. No, I will not. Such an act rings in my heart and soul as unjust and cruel. Such an act erases the line between good and evil. Such an act would stain my own conscience, whatever Mieliki's claims. And that, I believe, is the ultimate downfall of reasoning beings. What pain to the murderer, to the heart and soul of the one who would kill the elderly and infirm orc, or the goblin child? What stain forevermore to steal the confidence, the righteousness, the belief in oneself that is so critical for the sensibilities of the warrior? If I must wage terrible battle, then so be it. If I must kill, then so be it. If I must. Only if I must. My clear conscience protects me from a pit too dark to contemplate. And that is a place I hope Brunner and Catti Bree never enter. But what does this mean in my servitude to Mieliki? To the concept of a goddess I believed at peace with that which was in my own heart. What does this mean for the unicorn, her steed that I call from the whistle about my neck? What does this mean for the very return of my friends, the companions of the hall? They are beside me once more, we all agree, by the blessing of, and at the suffrage of, Mieliki. Catti Bree claims the voice of Mieliki with regards to the goblinkin. She is a priestess of Mieliki, with magical powers granted her by the goddess. How could she not speak truly on this matter? Aye, Catti Bree relayed the truth of what the goddess told her. That notion pains me most of all. I feel betrayed. I feel discordant, my voice shrill and out of tune with the song of the goddess. Yet if my heart is not true to the word of Mieliki, fie these gods! What beings are these who would play so cruelly with the sensibilities of rational, conscientious mortals? I have racked my brain and scoured my memories for evidence that I am wrong. I have tried to convince myself that the goblin named Nojheim was actually just manipulating me to try to save its skin. Nojheim was no poor victim of the humans, but a vile and conniving murderer kept alive by their mercy alone. So it must be. And so I cannot believe. I simply cannot. I was not, I am not wrong in my initial understanding about Nojheim. Nor was I wrong about Jessa, a half-orc, a friend, a companion, who traveled for years beside me, Thibeldorf Puent, and Brunner Battlehammer himself. But I must believe that I was wrong, or must accept that Mieliki is. And how can that be? How can the goddess I hold as the epitome of goodliness be wrong? How can Mieliki's song chip the veneer of truth I hold in my heart? Are these gods, then, fallible beings, looking over us as if we were no more than pieces on a sava board? Am I a pawn? Then my reason, my conscience, my independent thought and moral judgment must be cast aside, subjugated to the will of a superior being. But no, I cannot do this, surely not in matters of simple right and wrong. Whatever Mieliki might tell me, I cannot excuse the actions of that slaver Rico and the others who tormented, tortured, and ultimately murdered Nojheim. Whatever Mieliki might tell me, it must hold in accordance with that which I know to be true and right. It must. This is not arrogance, but the cry that an internal moral compass, the conscience of a reasoning being, cannot be disregarded by edict. I call not for anarchy. I offer nothing in the way of sophistry. But I insist that there must be universal truths about right and wrong. And one of those truths has to be that the content of character must outweigh the trappings of a mortal coil. I feel lost. In this, the winter of the Iron Dwarf, I feel sick and adrift. As I ask of the dwarves, the humans, indeed even the elves, that they view my actions and not the reputation of my heritage, so I must afford the same courtesy, the same politesse, the same decent deference to all reasoning beings. My hands shake now as I read my writings of a century before, for then, with my heart full of Mieliki's grace, so I believed, I revealed little doubt. Sunset, I wrote. and I see that descending fiery orb as clearly now as on that fateful day a century and more removed. Another day surrenders to the night as I perch here on the side of a mountain, not so far from Mithril Hall. The mystery of the night has begun. But does Nozheim know now the truth of a greater mystery? I often wonder of those who have gone before me, who have discovered what I cannot until the time of my own death. Is Nozheim better off now than he was as Rico's slave? If the afterlife is one of justice, then surely he is. I must believe this to be true, yet still it wounds me to know that I inadvertently played a role in the unusual goblin's death, both in capturing him and in going to him later, going to him with hopes that he could not afford to hold. I cannot forget that I walked away from Nozheim, however well-intentioned I might have been. I rode for Silvery Moon and left him vulnerable, left him in wrongful pain. And so I learned from my mistake. Forever after, I will not ignore such injustice. If ever I chance upon one of Nozheim's spirit and Nozheim's peril again, then let his wicked master be wary. Let the lawful powers of the region review my actions and exonerate me if that is what they perceive to be the correct course. If not, it does not matter. I will follow my heart. Three lines stand clear to me now in light of the revelations offered by Catti Bree. If the afterlife is one of justice, then surely he is. So I told myself. So I believed, and so I must believe. Yet if the afterlife is the domain of Mialiki, then surely Nozheim cannot have found a better place. Forever after I will not ignore such injustice, I vowed. And so I mean to hold true to that vow, for I believe in the content of the sentiment. Yes, Brunner, my dear friend. Yes, Catti Bree, my love and my life. Yes, Mialiki, to whom I ascribe the tenets that make me whole. It does not matter. I will follow my heart. Driest Doerden.